If you'd like to support us, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. You know, my journey was real simple. All I did was I just got sick of being just an outer perimeter Christian, just being on the outer perimeter. We prayed every day in tongues for about 45 minutes every day. And we were always ministering to people, but not in the capacity that we do now. It was a lucky dip Christianity. Sometimes here, sometimes there, whatever. And I've seen some mighty healings. But not on a totally consistent basis all the time. It wasn't until the Lord just said to me, I want you to stop feeling sorry for yourself. I want you to stop feeling sorry for yourself. And I want you to get back on the horse. So I just did what I thought was the best thing to do. I started praying for 5 hours a day. And after 3 months, the Lord started speaking to me even more. And he said, I've got a great work for you. I've got something in my hand that I want to give you. But if I give it to you now, it will destroy you. I need to transform you. I need to change you. I need to bring you into a place where you will be mine. Where you will do everything I ask of you. Because I'll change you. I'll change the innermost part of your being. And out of your belly, out of your innermost being, will flow rivers, multiple streams, rivers of living water. He told me that he would give me an anointing. And he said the anointing he was giving me would be to heal the brokenhearted and to break the chains off of people and to drill through rocks. And, you know, I just thought, yeah, but Lord, I want the anointing where you pull people out of wheelchairs. And after I started thinking about it, I think, hang on, that's what God gave Jesus. I started valuing what Jesus told me. You can only value what Jesus tells you, what God tells you, through revelation. It's just words until it becomes revelation, till it truly goes sinking into your spirit and you truly know what God is talking about. You know, I tell people about all the miracles and they go, oh, that's nice. Well, they hear them. But they don't have a revelation of what's happening. They don't have a revelation of what God is doing. You know, all I did was just sit down and pray in tongues. And God stepped me through, step by step, into the place that I am now. And the place that I am now, I haven't even started my journey. We're ready to tear it up, big time. So we sit at home. As nobodies, nobody knowing who we are at all, except for the people that we touch their lives and the people that are tearing it up with us, nobody knows us. We just sit down and we pray in tongues and we affect individuals' lives, groups of people's lives, but not thousands and thousands and thousands. But that's going to come. God is wanting us to sit down and be full of Him so that He can use us effectively in the last days. But you know, I walk in the glory of God now, and I've gone from strength to strength in the things of God, and I've seen my whole life change from position to position, getting stronger, and the ability and the authority. And all I've done is sat down, spoke in tongues, and God gave me the revelation of who I am in Him, who I am in Jesus. And then He showed me how to worship. And then I started worshiping properly. And then the juice started flowing. And then I got lost in His presence. And then He just started transforming me more and more. And then now, I'm just a normal person who walks in the glory of God, who displays the glory of Jesus Christ and the Father through the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't have to do anything. I used to be on the street witnessing to people, telling them about Jesus, talking to them years and years ago before I even started this journey. I'd be telling them about Jesus, handing them a pamphlet, quoting scriptures to them, telling them lots of testimonies, and trying to get them excited with the kingdom of God. And it was really hard. But now I'm full of God's glory, and I don't do anything, and they just burn on fire. I like this way. This is better. If I could get thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians doing this, man, oh man, we would take over the world with the name of Jesus. Instead, people want to hang around the outer perimeter, right? And they don't want to do much because some of them are told that's all you get, and some of them don't have a revelation of what Don and I understand to be true. We're walking in such a place now that it's just unthinkable years ago that we would even do this. I mean, you know, I just walk around people and they feel the anointing of God come over them. You know, I tapped one guy on the shoulder, just was talking to him, and I just tapped him on the shoulder, say, "She'll be right." And he goes, "What did you do?" And I said, "Well, I did nothing." He said, "Something just flooded through me." Oh, I didn't even pray for him. I didn't put my hand on him and close my eyes and start speaking in tongues and declaring things over him and all this wonderful stuff that we do. I just tapped him on the shoulder. And it was just a, "She'll be right, mate. Everything will work out." And I tapped him on the shoulder. And the power of God went through him. This guy never gone to church. Never been to church. He went home. We went back to his place about half an hour to minister to him and his wife, because his wife was sick. And she said to us, "What did you do to him?" And I said, "Well, we didn't do anything." She said, "He came home and he went in the room and started crying his eyes out." All I did was tap him on the shoulder. You know, there's people I've come into their room and just start talking to them, and they fall on the ground. They can't handle the glory that fills the room, and they get caught up in it. Now, I went to a big church, big mega church. I was in Australia. They had about 400 people in the church. It was more than that, I think. And I'm in the foyer at the end of the church, and it's a meet and greet in the foyer thing, rah, rah, rah. And I'm just talking to people, and these pastor came up to me. He started talking to me, and these other pastors came up. They were part of the church. And I started telling him what we do. And he said, "Oh, that's interesting." And I said, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" And he said, "Yes." So I put my hand on him. And I put my hand on his shoulder. And Jesus just said, "Tell him how much I love him." So I put my hand on his shoulder and I leant over to his ear and I whispered in his ear, "Jesus told me to tell you he loves you." And all of a sudden he started moaning. He just started moaning. And he started losing his ability to stand up. And he started falling all over me. This guy's a big guy. And I'm carrying his weight. And his head's stuck in my shoulder, moaning and just going, "Ah." And I'm speaking in tongues gently into his ear saying, "He loves you. He told me to tell you." And this guy's wrecked. I didn't do anything. I just did what Jesus told me to do, and he's wrecked. And after I finished praying for him, he's like, he lifted his head up and he looked at me, and he had this like massive look of joy, like, "Oh," and looked around, all the other pastors have taken off. I don't know. It's just funny. The whole lot is funny, you know. You know, I go up to people and I'm in the shopping center, and I just say, I might pray for them, and they're sitting down and they can't get up. And these people have never been to church. You know, I ring them up about a week, I rang this one lady up about a couple of weeks later, and she said, "What'd you do to me, Tom?" She said, "I couldn't walk home. I couldn't get up. I had to sit there for hours waiting for the stuff to leave me so I could get up and walk home." Another old lady, she had something wrong with her heart, I think it was. Something to do with her heart. Anyway, I prayed for her, and I had to sit her down on a seat because she couldn't stand up. You know, I said, "That's okay, just sit there. Everything will be all right. God will fix you up." You know, we're in a shopping center. I'm doing my shopping with Donna. This lady's pushing another trolley, and the Lord said, "Go and speak to her." I walked over to her and I said, "How you going?" I smiled at her and I said, "I'm a Christian, and you know, the Lord's told me that he wants me to pray for you." And she goes, "Oh, okay." And I said, "What's wrong?" She says, "I just got out of hospital. I had heart problems." I said, "Okay." So I put my hand on her and I prayed over her. Well, actually, I got her and took her over to Donna, and both of us prayed over her. And we just prayed over about her heart and everything. And then she went off shopping. And about 2 minutes later, we turned around. And she's up against the upright freezers, sliding down the freezers onto the ground. And we raced over to her. I thought, oh no, the devil's trying to kill her. He's trying to give her another heart attack. I just went over to her and we grabbed her by the arms. And we looked at her and she looked up and she smiled. And the smile on her face was like, I'm in happy land. We pulled her up, we stood her up, and she was like our best friend. See, when the kingdom of God comes over people, it breaks through into a place that's far greater than human friendship, than knowing somebody for years and years, than having great, bosom buddy friends. It breaks into a place, and it makes strangers friends of all friends. It brings them into a place, a spiritual place, where everything is far greater than this natural world. Far greater kinsmanship, friendship, far greater connection. And that's what we deal with. We don't deal with humanistic, hello, how you going? My name's Tom, we do this. Let's talk for half an hour, and then we'll get around to God. No, it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes, max. All we do is we just get sent by God, walk up to them, and all of a sudden, within a minute, we're praying for them. Within 30 seconds, sometimes we're praying for them. And within 8 minutes, they're filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized. One lady on a beach. That's pretty amazing. We thought that was funny. You know, we're in a shopping center and I was getting a battery for my mobile, and this other guy's standing there, and he's a backpacker. And he's trying to get his phone fixed because he got a bit aggro. And I said, I don't get aggro because I'm full of God. And he goes, he looks at me, says, oh, I'd love that. I said, that's okay. When you finish, we'll go outside the store into the mall and we'll pray for you. Okay. So we went outside and he came outside and we prayed for him. And he got touched massively by the Lord. We said, would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? We had some prayer for him, and he didn't receive the Holy Spirit there. People are walking by. We're praying away. Shamada kada kada yada. Anyway, I gave him my number. I said, you need to be baptized, and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Go down to the beach, have some prayer, and get full of the Holy Spirit, and ring us up. We'll come and baptize you. Next day, he rings me up. He says, I haven't received the Holy Spirit. I went down to the beach. Will you come and baptize me? And anyway, so we went down to the beach. We met him at the beach. And we baptized him. We came out of the water. We put our hands on him. And bang, he started speaking in tongues. That's it. Anyway. And he'd rang his dad up in England and said, Dad, I'm going to become a Christian today. That happened just because we told him that we walked in the power of God. We laid our hands on him. And something was far greater than all of the pep talks and language we could give him. It was the presence of God. It transformed everything in his understanding. You know, your spiritual awareness is far greater than your natural awareness, than your natural humanistic understanding. The spiritual awareness or spiritual capacity or spiritual ability to perceive is far greater than your natural. And if you can break into someone's spiritual life, even though they're not spirit-filled, if you can break into that spirit realm, they get a download, even though they're not spirit-filled, even though they're not a Christian, they get download from God. People say, God doesn't talk to unsaved people, he talks only Christians. Only his sheep hear his voice. Well, that's true. But his sheep have to come in from the pasture. And his sheep get told that they're sinners and they need to do something about it. That's God. That's not us. You could speak all day and all night to someone telling them they're a sinner, telling them they need to get right with God. But until the Holy Spirit convicts them of sin, then you ain't going nowhere. Okay? So if you're full of God and God's working with you, then it pretty well works. It's that easy. You know, so we got this guy, came out of the water, we prayed for him. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He's taken photographs and everything. We're taking photographs of him. And he tells us, he rang his dad up and said, I'm going to become a Christian. And then he says to me, I have to get on a plane tomorrow and fly to Sydney. So we said, oh, okay. We don't have time to disciple you for 3 months. So we got him in the car. We prayed over him. We said to him, listen, this is what you do. Pray in tongues. Read your Bible and seek God. Don't listen to other people, but listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Word of God. And if they fall into a line with the Word of God and the prayer and the presence of the Holy Spirit, what God tells you, then listen to them because they're being led by the Lord. And we prayed over him and we got him praying and then we had to take him home. Actually, we left him somewhere where he was going to do something. And we never saw him again, but we know that he was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he knew to pray in tongues, and he knew to go to my website. So, whatever, the Lord can look after all the stuff. All we do is do what the Lord tells us to do. Okay? You know, I've never really started a church up. I said to the Lord, shall I start a church? And he said, I don't want you playing church. I hired a hall once to see what would happen, and nobody came. I told them all about healings and miracles and nobody came. I thought, okay, you don't want me to start a church. So I didn't start a church. So all I do is sit at home and pray in tongues, get full of God. My wife and I, we go out everywhere. We don't go out purposely. We just go out. Go out shopping, might go and have dinner, do something. We're always praying for people. We went into Brisbane only a week ago, and at night, on Saturday night, went and had a walk around Brisbane a bit in the town, in the city part, and we ended up in the square, and we're praying for saints who are already spirit-filled, who are looking for a move of God in their life. Because someone came up to me, I said, and God started telling me about them. I said, the Lord wants me to pray for you. He wants you to move further. And they said, oh, wow, we've been looking for this. There you go. Let's pray. So we're in King George Square praying for people. At night, during the day, in shopping centres, on the beach, right, in parks, in churches, praying for individuals, all these sorts of things. In car parks, wherever. And God turns up. Massively, more than ever in their church. So all you've got to do is just become a place where the kingdom of God can dwell massively, and then you become a mobile revival place. You become mobile revival. You don't need to have a church that says we're gonna have revival in our church. Individuals need revival in their lives. And you can go to those people who are lost, who are praying, who are seeking a word of God, seeking a move of God, and you can break through into their life with the kingdom of God and give them the stuff that they've been praying about because you are able to carry it, because you are able to put yourself in a position to carry the kingdom of God around. It's not in a geographical place. It's not in a name or of a building or a group of people. It's in individuals, individually going to individuals, praying individually and seeing an accumulative power of God come upon them and transforming their whole life. And then them going forth and getting their victories, moving into a relationship with the Father and the Son through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Worshipping, becoming true worshippers in spirit and truth. Praying to God and touching heaven and becoming a person that can open a heaven up where God can pour down other people's prayers onto you, so that you can minister to other people. I've been to so many churches and checked out what they've got. I've seen pastors speaking great, wonderful prayers and, you know, praying for people about, I bind you, devil, but nothing happens. Everybody's got the words. Everybody's got the theatrical moves. But nobody's got the real dunamis power. Nobody's got the glory. Let's all go and get the glory. It's really simple. Sit down, pray in tongues, let God give you a revelation of who he wants you to be. And then he'll start moving you into that place. He'll give you a compass direction. And then you can pray your way into that place that God wants you to be. And then he'll start using you as a mighty person of God. That's what it's all about. It's not about church. Church is about a bunch of spirit-filled people who are on fire for God, who get around and encourage each other and talk about wonderful things that God has done in their life and come together in an accumulative way, in a corporate way, and pray in tongues and worship God and help those who are coming through who are not so apt in pulling down the kingdom of God, bringing it down, opening up a heaven, or getting their victories. They're covering them with their prayers and teaching them to step into the kingdom of God and to step into a personal, powerful relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said the kingdom of God or eternal life is knowing the Father. Okay, there's a lot about I could say about eternal life. You know, we're walking in eternity now. We've started our eternity now. We're walking in now, in this realm now. It will be changed soon. Our body will be changed, and we'll have a different function, a better upgrade function. We won't be dragged down by the flesh. One of the things that I have problems with is that the presence of God comes over me, and I can hardly stand sometimes. My poor old body can't cope with massive amounts of glory. He can strengthen me a bit, but, you know, I'm working on it. You know, sometimes Donna has to drive me home. I can't drive. I'm wrecked. You know, sometimes I have to, when the glory comes, I have to step back a bit because I don't want to get caught up in it. I can't minister to people. I'll get wrecked. I've got to stay functional. It's a bit of a cat and mouse. I've got to jump around a bit, move around where the glory is less so that I can function and then let everybody else get whacked and then step back. Anyway, I'm just a novice at this stuff, you know, and God's just chosen me, and he said, will you do this? And I said, yes. All I did was say yes. I said to God a couple of months ago, I said, so what do I bring? You know, we're partnering together in the kingdom of God. We're doing stuff together. He says it in 1 Corinthians, that you partner with God in the harvesting of souls of men. And, you know, he told me that the most precious gift on the earth is the souls of men. That's the precious gift. That's the precious, that's the jewels. That's the gold that he's going after, is the souls of men. That's the value. That's what he values. You know, when you carry the glory of God, it only takes Don and I like 20 seconds. We get on the phone. People ring us up. We put them on speakerphone and we say to them, listen, just sit down, we're going to pray, and you're going to be filled with the presence of God. And we just start worshiping, and 30 seconds, you can feel the presence of God fill the room. And sometimes over the phone, you hear them going, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And they're just excited. And I pray for people, and they go, I don't know, but there's something all over me. And I say, that's God, mate, that's God. They've been going to church all their life. That's really bad. Over the phone, we do lots of phone ministry. And we prayed for one guy on the phone. You know, we used to do the same thing. They ring us up. They heard about us. You say, okay, what's wrong? And we pray for him. And, you know, one guy, I started talking to him over the phone and I prayed over him. And sometimes I'll pray for them and I'll say, okay, we're just going to leave you. You sit there and we're just going to leave you in this presence. And we start praying over him. We start declaring sickness to go and whatever else is there. And then we just turn the phone off. And we just advise them to sit there in the presence of God for as long as they can, half an hour, whatever. And they come out of it totally healed. Now, I prayed for one guy and I prayed over him and I just put the phone, you know, turned the phone off. And the prep, the power, the presence, the majesty, the enormousness of God came over him and scared the living daylights out of him. He went and just like freaked out. He didn't know what to do. God was so big. I don't know what God did to him, but he scared him with his enormousness that he 3 months, he was freaked out for 3 months. It was like, overwhelmed with how big God was. It scared him. And after that, he just stepped into it, and that's it. He's full of God now. You know, I've never had anybody do that, but whatever floats their boat, whatever God has to do to get their attention. Sometimes they're crying over the phone. They're full of love and joy. Sometimes all of their sins have been forgiven and they can feel it. And the healing's there and all the stuff. And they're full of thanksgiving and they're just, thank you God, and all the stuff. It's lovely. But, you know, I've never had God come over somebody and scare the daylights out of them. Well, whatever. Anyway. So, you know, I asked God, I said, what's my part in this whole thing? And he said to me, he brings the revelation. And he brings the dunamis glory, the power. He brings everything. He told me he brings the Holy Spirit. And I'm starting to think, well, hang on, what do I bring, Lord? You know, I'm just running out of stuff. What do I bring? And he goes, you bring something really valuable. And I thought, oh, okay, what is it? And he said, your will, your ability to say yes. And then he gave me a revelation. He said, you don't know how hard it is to get somebody to say yes. You don't know how hard it is to get somebody who will yield their will to him. He said, you say yes. You do what I tell you every time. You know, a lot of people that hang around Don and I, they say, you know, the greatest thing that I know about you, Tom, is that you always say yes to God. You never say no. You have got no fear of people or situations. You just step in. And they said, you are the luckiest person that they've met. To me, I don't know. I just do what the Lord tells me. I don't see any greatness in me. I know who I am. I know I'm a king and a priest. I know that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that I have eternity. I know that Jesus is using me. I know that the things that I do tear up darkness. But it's not about me. It's about God flowing through me. It's about Jesus putting his display, his power on display. Right, through me, using me just as a vessel who'll say yes. And if you could only say yes, just to the first steps, sit down, pray in tongues for a couple of minutes a day, then 5 minutes, then 10 minutes, then 20 minutes, then an hour, maybe 2 hours. I know some people, I speak to them on the phone, they ring me up and they say, I want to know what you've got. I say, yeah, okay, no worries. Well, I tell them on the phone, and they go away and they start praying. Some of them pray for 3 hours a day. That's amazing. And then all of a sudden they come back about a month later and they say, I've been praying for like 2 or 3 hours a day and all this stuff's all over me and I want to know what's going down. And I just tell them, keep praying, and I pray over them, and all of a sudden they step into eternity. And then they start seeing healings and miracles and stuff on the street amongst their people in their church. And then I just disciple them. And I just move them in into a place where they are self-sufficient in the Holy Spirit. They no longer need me. They are totally taught by the Holy Spirit. They're totally dependent on the presence and the knowledge that comes from the revelation through the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. They're self-sufficient. They know how to fix themselves. They know how to right themselves. They know if they wobble, how to fix. They know how to get themselves out of a ditch. And if they get into too big a ditch, we're always there for them. And collectively, we pray over them, and stuff gets done. You know, we become unstoppable. But the only thing that can stop us is unbelief, the hardness of men's hearts. That's the only thing that slows us down is unbelief. Unbelief that God can actually do this stuff in their life. Unbelief because people have been down the front, they've had prayer that many times, nothing's happening, and they believe in Jesus, but they just can't see any miracles. Christians are the hardest ones to minister to. Unsaved people on the street, easy, easy. Because they haven't got the door of their heart locked up. Because they haven't been disappointed so much. But if you pray in tongues, if you just do that one little thing, God will do the unlocking of your heart. He will take the doors off the hinges so that he can flood into your life. Because by praying in tongues, you'll create an invitation for him to come into your life, transform everything in your life so that you can become the image of his son. And as you behold his image, you'll be transformed from glory to glory. And you'll start moving from operation to operation. And you'll start seeing people's lives change around you. And they'll become the treasure that you'll accumulate in heaven. It's not about money. We aren't going to use money. The treasure in heaven is going to be the saving of souls of men. That's and women as well. So we're all going to come into heaven and we're going to look at somebody who witnessed to us, who prayed over us, got us the victory, and we're going to thank them. It'd be nice to have thousands of people come to you and say, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to bow your knee to Jesus Christ, to become an instrument of righteousness so that you could do something in my life so that I could be here. Thank you. Think about it. It's a great reward. We'll leave it here. So if you'd like to help Don and I out at Clear Vision Revival, then just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.